May the Lord help us to commence this service by singing part of hymn number 220. We'll sing the first four verses and hope to sing the remaining verses for our middle hymn. Hymn 220. No prophet or dreamer of dreams, no master of plausible speech, to live like an angel who seems, or like an apostle to preach. No tempter without or within, no spirit, though ever so bright, that comes crying out against sin, and looks like an angel of light. Hymn 220, the first four verses.
Thank you. us read the Word of God in the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 54. Isaiah chapter 54. Saying, O barren, thou that didst not bear, break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that didst not travail with child. For more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitations. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, and thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Fear not, for thou shalt not be ashamed, neither be thou confounded, for thou shalt not be put to shame. For thou shalt forget the shame of thy youth, and shalt not remember the reproach of thy widowhood any more. For thy Maker is thine husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. The God of the whole earth shall he be called. For the Lord hath called thee as a woman forsaken and grieved in spirit, and a wife of youth, when thou wast refused, saith thy God. For a small moment have I forsaken thee, but with great mercies will I gather thee. In a little wrath I hid my face from thee for a moment, but with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord, that hath mercy on thee. O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colours, and lay thy foundations with sapphires. I will make thy windows of agates, and thy gates of carbuncles, and all thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. In righteousness shalt thou be established, thou shalt be far from oppression. For thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not by me. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fall for thy sake. Behold, I have created the smith that bloweth the coals in the fire, and that bringeth forth an instrument for his work, and I have created the waster to destroy. No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Let us pray. May the Lord grant us prayer. O Lord, our God, do hear us now in heaven, thy dwelling place. Do grant us to come to thee and know and feel the favour and be in the favour of access to thee, Lord. We plead the precious name of Jesus. Come into thee, O God, our Father, our Heavenly Father. We plead that name that thou, the Father, loves to hear thy children plead. O Lord, do hear us and have mercy on us. Look in mercy upon us, Lord, each of us. Who knoweth how we've come together again with our friends here. We especially remember our dear friend and brother who was engaged to preach here this evening. Who knoweth his position of being in isolation now till he has his operation on Thursday. Lord, may it go well again as his first one did. And Lord, do be with him and bless him. And if he's thinking of us as we may expect he is, oh, may there be that settledness of mind that he is in thy will. Lord, bless him, help him, and his dear people. And Lord, oh, we pray that the dear friends here might not lack tonight. Who knoweth how poor we feel, how insufficient, but how wonderfully, Lord, we believe as we have meditated today. Wonderfully thou didst give the word last evening when we got just inside our gates from taking the prayer meeting at Clifton. And the word, thou didst cause the word to drop in. When I begged of thee, Lord, give me the word for tomorrow for Swabersey. And now it did so wonderfully drop in. May it be proved, Lord, tonight. Oh, we beg thee, we may be so assured and blessed, and know with the favour we felt of assurance today, in meditating upon that word. And, oh Lord, I beg thee, may we be able to pour it out as thou pour it in tonight, that the friends here may be blessed with all those wonders of thy grace, Lord. The wonders of redeeming love. And Lord, who knows we've read in the word regarding redeeming. Redemption by price paid. Even thy sacrifice and death and the shedding of thy blood, Lord. We beg thee to grant and favour here tonight. And may there be food for souls. May there be that given of thee for the true favour, blessing of soul. Lord, them knoweth each case. Oh, do come, Lord, and see thy blessing to each case. Feed thy people, Lord, bless them. Oh, them knoweth, Lord, as we come, Lord, we do desire that thou would do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion, even this part of thy Zion. Oh, bless souls here. We pray for them each and all. We pray for the younger friends, the young people. Bless them, Lord, help them. Be with them in their daily lives. And as they are growing up and grown up, Lord, and young people gone forth into life, oh, we pray thou wilt in thy mercy favour them. Oh, may they have that favour of grace to seek first the kingdom of God and thy righteousness. And oh, as we think of thy word, thou hast promised to give all other good things unto such. Bless them, Lord, with thy fear. Oh, bless them that they may be seeking thee. Lord, do so bless the young. May they have the favour of thy grace, Lord, in early days, if it could be thy holy will. saving them from thousands of snares of later life. Lord, we pray, do keep from this bewitching world. Save me, Lord, save us each from this bewitching world. You know, with all the things that we felt we had to deliver in a message last evening, Lord. Oh, Lord, as regarding that word in the book of and prophet Hosea. Oh, Lord, regarding the need to return unto the Lord. Oh, and take with you words. Oh, we need to take with us those words, Lord, of confession and pleading, begging. Oh, and call upon the Lord. Lord, oh, help us now. Help us each. Help us each, Lord, in our daily lives. And keep us, Lord. We may be blessed to be living unto thee. Lord, thou knowest we want to live the rest of our days out to thy honour and glory. Thy free grace alone from the first to the last has won our affection. And we trust we can say bound our soul fast. Bless the friends in these ways, Lord. Thou knowest all what is in their lives and pathways, Lord. All thy will for them. And Lord, we especially remember friends in affliction. Friends, and especially our dear friend and brother and his family, Lord, and dear Lord. Oh, thou knowest we wouldn't make more words, Lord, but thou knowest our daily praying and remembering them, Lord. Oh, we beg thee to bless and favour, Lord, in this time of the cloud of the shadow of the valley of the shadow of death, Lord. Oh, do bless the family, each and all of them, young ones, children, young people of the family, Lord. Lord, oh, what hast thou in thy purpose yet to bring out and make known, and Lord, thou knowest, as thou hast blessed that family. Oh, we believe thou hast more to do. And Lord, oh, we pray it may be so and may be a witness here of thy blessing even in these solemn times. Oh, Lord, thou knowest what thy will is for one and another. Thou knowest, Lord. Lord, we pray for all our friends as we think of many up and down across the land. Oh, and there are many in affliction, and thy servants in affliction. Especially remember, Lord, Mr. Parrish and Mr. Tyler. Knoweth their affliction, Lord, differing in the way of it, but Lord, especially our friend Timothy and all what he yet has to undergo in careful tests and monitoring of his condition. And our dear friend Mr. Tyler, having been laid so low, Lord, bless him, Lord. Heal them, restore them, Lord, to the ministry of the word. Oh, Lord, we wait upon thee for this. Watch thy hand praying for them. Lord, thou knowest any others, Lord, that we should remember. We know our friend Javis is much restricted and laid low in the spirits, we believe, Lord. Oh, we pray for him, Lord. We pray for each one. And Lord, as thou art taking thy people home, these home callings, Lord, are warning to us all. Be ye ready also. Lord, thou knowest we think of thy servant buried recently, last week. And Lord, oh, thou knowest all the march exercise he had all those years for the young people. And Lord, oh, we do pray that there may yet be those things following of what he sowed, Lord, in his labours. Bread cast upon the water found after many days. Oh, Lord, and we think of those that we've known of the great cloud of witnesses seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. In all one's years in the way, Lord, we look back and the many godly have been taken as we've witnessed and gone to the funerals, Lord, and thou knowest all. Oh, may we run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, if we rightly consider the cloud of witnesses, we believe got safely home through him that loved us, loved them and gave himself for them. And Lord, oh, we do trust we in the same way. Oh, relying on all sufficient grace, trusting in thee, our God and Saviour. And Lord, believing in thy victory over sin and death and hell. Oh Lord, that we may be favoured with confidence of faith, that we shall to the end endure and be found home at last with thee. We have meditated, Lord, upon heaven, who knoweth what it must be to be there, we know not. We can have a little light and meditation, a little glimpse, as thou dost favour us with it. But Lord, what must the fountain be, where saints and angels draw their bliss immediately to thee? Prepare us, Lord, we may be well prepared by thee, and we may have that glorious prospect in the eye of faith, as we felt it today, Lord. May it continue, may our friends know these favours, the blessed prospect, the favour, that blessed hope that we shall be with thee, with Christ, which is far better, and all through him that loved us and gave himself for us. We pray, Lord, us for each one now. Though, Lord, we feel tonight not to want to multiply words more, we cast our all upon thee. We commit our way unto thee. And we pray, Lord, come now. May we blessedly know thy presence here in thy house. Help us in further singing thy praises, singing those theme in that hymn, the deep but very needful truth in it, and desires and points in it. And Lord, oh, may we so be well prepared by sovereign grace, prepared for that great day. Do wash us in the Saviour's blood, Lord. Take our sins away. May we be seeking ever to know our sins are put away, blotted out by the blood of Jesus. Oh, bless souls with assurance of it. Oh, apply the blood. Oh, apply the remedy to any needy soul tonight. I beg these things, Lord, also remembering our country and remembering the people living in the locality. And Lord, in burden for souls, begging of thee to quicken souls and make them cry, Jesus, save me or I die. Let thy work appear, Lord, in quickening new characters born of the Spirit, that thou wilt quicken them to make them new creatures in Christ. Lord, oh, how it is solemn. Oh, we are concerned that we might not be in any form of false religion. Oh, quicken those that may be in a dead form. We know. Well, it is, there have been many that have attended chapel all their days and not been found right at last. Oh, attended chapel all their days and then after death have to hear and acknowledge that solemn confession. The harvest is past and the summer is ended and we are not saved. May it be a solemn word to some of you if there's any neglectfulness. And as we look back to a time when particularly oneself felt it, Lord, oh, we may do prepare us for that great day. Wash us in the Saviour's blood. Take our sins away. Lord, Are there any in Swaybersea to be called by grace to come to this place seeking? We know, Lord, we know of one and another who went around large towns looking for where they could worship after they had begun thy work in them. Lord, you know, as we think of one and another, we wouldn't name them now, but they are very prominent in our mind, having known one and another. Oh, they were strangers and foreigners. We were all strangers and foreigners, really, literally, actually. But by the grace of God, called by grace, saved by grace, made citizens of Zion, no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Oh, we look, there may be more such brought. Lord, oh, we beg for this. And in our families, Lord, where are those that edge long, urge their mad career and go their own way? Oh, deal with them, Lord, thou knowest how we bring them unto thee every day. Oh, we look for thy work, Lord, to appear. Let thy work appear unto thy servants and thy glory unto their children. And Lord, oh, thou hast those thou art exercising for the ministry. And thou hast those thou wilt send out in the ministry. Lord, we pray for this. The harvest is plenteous, the labourers are few. O Lord, thou, the Lord of the harvest, oh, we beg thee, send forth more labourers into the harvest. Who knoweth thy, thy sons who have this work to do. Lord, we beg of thee, make them manifest in thy time, and bring them forth and say, as it was said regarding those Hebrew children, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth, go forth. We beg all these things, Lord, pleading for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
We'll continue with hymn 220, commencing at verse 5. Deceived by the father of lies, blind guides cry, lo here and lo there. By these our Redeemer us tries and warns us of such to beware. Poor comfort to mourners they give, who set us to labour in vain, and strive with a do this and live, to drive us to Egypt again. Hymn 220, verse 5.
Thank you.
as the Lord may help me, friend, I would direct you to the chapter that we've read and the 10th verse. That is Isaiah chapter 54, verse 10. As I said, these words dropped in. We just pulled in our gate from Clifton last evening. My dear one was shutting the gates, and while I was sitting for her to get back in the car, these words dropped in. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. I don't want to be emotional, but it filled my soul with God's wonderful feeling of God's wonderful love. And really, friends, these mountains that shall depart, well, they may be many, many things, various things. We know there will be the departing of the mountains. There will be the rolling up of a scroll of all things. There will be the elements we reach will melt with fervent heat and the great terrible day of the Lord. But God's people will be safe. They will be brought to be safely landed with Christ and home in heaven. The mountain shall depart. What does it mean as well? What we are experiencing of mountains, well, of course, there's the side of mountains of sin and guilt. It's not that. That is dealt with by the blood of Jesus. They are put away by the sacrifice of Christ. The mountains shall depart. I mean, those people have great power. They will all depart. There's people that we may rely a lot on. There's all the things of our fond, things of our natural things, which are very big and important to us. They're all going to depart, friends. There's all the things of what we hold in self-confidence and all that, that will all depart. But are you concerned about this? Kings, even good kings will depart. They all will come to be finished with as being here below. The great provision of God's providence, that will depart when we come to the end of our lives. And this word really figurative of so much. The mountains shall depart. For the mountains shall depart. And God's people are learning that even the biggest, most important things, of natural things, we've got to leave them, they will depart. Everything of nature will depart. Oh, the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed. I may have told you before, but when we was on holiday in Wales, we were a place, it was advertised, a Christian man's guest house, and the house looked out across toward a big kind of mountain, Conway Mountain. And I remember looking at that when I was a young man and thinking about the mountains and thinking about, because I was under conviction of sin, thinking about how the people will cry and run to the mountains and rocks to cover them. The terrible day of judgment. And looking at that mountain, thinking of that, well, and that will, they will all be burned up. But two friends, thinking of mountains, the big things of thy life, the big things of thy natural life, and those that you may have respect to. And I think of, like all the good kings there were, they've all had to depart, the bad ones as well. Oh, people with power. Mountains speak of stability and solidness. But it's all got to depart, friends, and especially things which we hold in our natural affection. They've all got to depart, and the heels will be removed. But God says, my kindness shall not depart from thee. You know what we've just concluded in singing that last verse, upon the love of God. Well, the last part, my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. And I believe this, especially covenant of peace, is the love of God. The love of God. Oh, the love of Christ, the love of God to poor sinners. So, really, it comes a wonderful word to me. All the things that we worry about and concerned about, all the things that we're troubled over, all these things will be gone, friends. But he says, my kindness shall not depart from thee. Let us try to begin to consider the kindness of God. Well, if you're a soul born of the Spirit, you have been already a subject of the kindness of God. Oh, God's kindness to those he loves. And this is what he does give you to have identified within you. If you've begun to experience the kindness of God, oh, in his dealing with you, beginning to deal and going on to deal with you, to teach you, it's his kindness because he loves you. Oh, thinking of all these things that we shall have to will depart, and of course this, the context of this is, as God has said in the 9th verse, for this is as the waters of Noah unto me. And it make clear this, understand this, friends, it's God speaking. This is as the waters of Noah unto me. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth, so have I sworn I would not be wroth with thee, nor rebuke thee. God does. He does show his wrath. But here he is coming to acknowledge so blessedly. And if we step back to the 8th verse. In a little wrath have I hid my face from thee for a moment. Notice a moment. But with everlasting kindness will I have mercy on thee, saith the Lord, thy Redeemer. God is speaking to his Israel, to his people. He's speaking in these words, these words to his people of those days of the prophet. He's speaking to his people today. He's speaking to his people here tonight, I believe, in this way. For the mountain shall depart. And in a way it says, explaining upon what he stated, according to his holy mind, for this is as the waters of Noah unto me, that the waters, I've sworn that the waters of Noah shall no more go over the earth, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. He may have had to have done, but now, is it that in some measure what God has done in rebuking thee, in correcting thee, in chastening thee, has effectually made a difference? And now God in wonderful ways is expressing he won't do it anymore. He won't need to do it anymore because he gives grace. He will give grace and glory. And explaining what he's already said, he says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, and neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Oh, what great considerations they are that the Holy Spirit will bring us to. So consider The mountains shall depart, the hills be removed, and they will. They will. But the explaining of this in this way, to this extent and height of the way of God to, as it were, convey this in blessed message and statement to his people, to so bless them and favour them, they may have the blessed confidence of faith and the wonderful favour, feeling to be receiving of the Lord all the favours of his grace, to be assured of our part in the Redeemer's blood, to be favoured to know, that sweet couplet comes, 'twas Jesus, my friend, when he hung on the tree, opened a channel of mercy for me. And this is God's kindness to give us, to ever remember, to have it applied to us, to have the favour of the Holy Spirit testifying of Christ, taking of the things of Jesus. Oh, God's kindness. But my kindness shall not depart from thee. Let us try to consider, friends, you and me, when the Lord first began to make known his kindness. Actually, it was his kindness to even bring us under the solemn conviction of sin. But of course, at that time, it didn't feel like his kindness. But as the Lord went on to be gracious and raised us to a hope and began to make Christ precious as we had the real felt need of him. Oh, it's sinners need salvation, and they need the only way of salvation. They need the Saviour. And as the Lord was teaching us, bringing us to know absolutely that there is none other way of salvation but the person and work of the Son of God. And he, by the wonderful work and operation of the Spirit in us, he was made to become so precious to us. God's kindness in so revealing Christ. Oh, where we were sinner, guilty and ruined in the fall. And it was God's kindness to make us feel that. But his kindness especially to raise us to a hope and make Christ precious. And so you will have this as that your experience of what God has done already for you. Then get it going along in the way. And like I was feeling yesterday, and had to have take a message to Clifton, which was rather a severe message. But you see the favour of it, and we felt the dear friends received it in love. And getting home, and then this word dropping in, as I had said to the Lord, "What is thy word for suavity, Lord?" And almost immediately it dropped in. "For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness..." Is this what you want, friends? You want to know more of his kindness, more of Jesus, more of the wonders of redeeming love? Is this what you need? And you want to know more of them because you need salvation, you need redemption, you need everything of what Jesus Christ has wrought and brought in for the church. You need it. You're a needy sinner. God's kindness in making us to be feelingly needy sinners. God's kindness in showing us our great need, showing us that all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, that we've got no merit. We do not merit anything. We cannot claim anything. We cannot do anything for ourselves to save ourselves. It must be all Jesus Christ and him crucified. Oh, we seek, I trust we are mutually in agreement of this, we seek no other blood nor name to cleanse our guilt and hide our shame, but that wrought out by Christ the Son, which God imputes and faith puts on. Oh, what the Lamb of God did in coming to suffer, bleed and die on Calvary's cross. Oh, for the mountains shall depart. There'll be a losing, there'll be a departing of so much. We've got to lose everything, all fond hopes and mountains of those we may have trusted in, people that have been so prominent and we trusted in them in ways, in natural ways. But oh, all must depart and be removed. But my kindness shall not depart from thee. This is one of the, I want to be careful in saying this about the word of God, but I believe this is one of the most profound and most wonderful words regarding God's love and kindness in the word of God. And it's set in this way of the extremes of bigness and stability, mountains and hills. But they shall depart, they shall be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. You know, I have to be faithful, friends, and careful. I have to say this, if you are one of those who has already experienced something of the wonderful kindness, the kindness of God, this word is to you. But if you've not known anything of the kindness of God, of God's dealing with you, He having begun with you, you're in danger. I think of the theme of the hymn writer comes. It was a very solemn theme to me in my early days. But if still a total stranger to His precious name and blood, thou art on the brink of danger. Canst thou face a holy God? Think and tremble. Death is now upon the road. You can't face a holy God if you're just standing on your own. You might have done a lot of good things. You might have been careful and kind and honest. Lived what naturally people would say a good life, an honest life. You want more than that, friends. You may say, well, I've been to chapel all my life. You want more than that, friends? Oh, you do. If you've only got that, that will be among the mountains that depart. The mountains of your fond affections, your fond hopes will all depart. The hills of the greatness of what you've been, now you've been kind and giving in whatever way. You might claim that you've done good works. Good works cannot work as remission of sin, friends. These mountains will have to depart. Be very solemn if you've got nothing left. If the mountains are all what you claim a lot of and think about, you can think of the mountains of, say, 50, 60, 70 years attending chapel. And that may be in your heart and affection, in your mind, as a mountain. I've been to chapel all these times. They'll depart, it will depart, it will let you down. The mountains shall depart, whatever they are that we are in, hope in, which is not Christ, which is not His salvation. It will depart, friends. It will leave you wanting. In that great day, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness. Now, do you know this? God's kindness. His kindness in beginning in you, to make you to become a needy sinner, a concerned sinner, showing you what you are, showing you, giving you to look within and feel the solemnity of what you are as a sinner before a holy God. This is His kindness. My kindness shall not depart. God goes on in His kindness. revealing these things, these solemn realities of what we are as wretched sinners, but then also revealing to these that he's made to know and feel their sin and guilt, convicted, convinced them of their sin and guilt, and he reveals a precious Christ. Oh, what kindness. Oh, the great kindness of God, because he set his love upon such characters before the foundation of the world, and each one in time he begins his work in. And each one he goes on to be gracious in. He goes on to deal with them, teach them, and do everything for them, everything they need to know. He teaches, he shows, what they are, and gives them to feel their need to pray and beg of God, God be merciful to me, a sinner. And he hears that cry, and he is merciful, he's gracious. He's got that perfect heart of love towards those he's quickened into life. And he has the perfect purpose to save them, to do in and for them all what they need. And this is his kindness. And when the soul is granted this kindness, the beginning of it and the carrying on of it by the work and operation of the Spirit, oh, they will never find it departing from them. The Lord may at times hide his face because of their further folly and sinning, but oh, he will not forsake them. He'll never forsake the work of his own hands. And this is what he's saying here: my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. Oh, God's people, see, they have, thinking of what the Lord said to his people, said regarding his people when he spoke as regarding them in that figurative way as sheep of his pasture. He says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Oh, have you got that hope? God, the Lord has given you eternal life when he quickened you, and you were born of the Spirit. The reality is God gives his people eternal life. And according to his holy mind and will, they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. They're safe in the hands and arms of Jesus Christ, underneath of the everlasting arms. But my kindness shall not depart. You may have been experiencing, friends, I believe God's people do in many ways, experience these mountains departing. They shall depart, and hills be removed, and all those things which you may be able to acknowledge and give acknowledgement of what you have had hope in. And they've been removed, and they're being removed. And you see this in countries of the world, nations of the world. Oh, great men are removed. But you see, for God's people, they wouldn't be trusting in them, not in their right mind. They wouldn't be trusting in an arm of flesh. How are you? How am I? An arm of flesh will fail us, friends. We dare not trust to that. God so works that they depart from us. Our fond hopes are given up under and by the grace of God. And so we rely then upon the Lord himself, the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Oh, and he is so precious, as I've said. And it says, but my kindness shall not depart from thee. That must mean, friends, it's eternal. You're going to prove it forever and ever. It can't depart. It shall not depart. God will ever be true to his statements, his promises. Great is his faithfulness. Thy kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. Now the covenant of God's peace, I believe, is that which he makes known to his people. We know in the holy council of Jehovah before the world, the covenant was ordered in all things and sure. And it is in time where God so works according to his covenant purpose, his will for his people, and individual souls are made manifest as his people, vessels of mercy to be fitted for the master's use. God goes on, begins his work and goes on to work in them and teaches them all they need to know. And the wonderful favour, friends, of coming to know this wonderful covenant of peace. To know God has such wonderful purposes of love and mercy to us. Oh, the covenant of my peace, that his people shall know that peace which passeth all understanding. When God's people may be involved in concentrating on the big things of their lives and the mountains, as it were, and hills, then the Lord speaks like he did through the dear apostle. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds by Christ Jesus. Covenant of peace. The favour of knowing this blessed peace. Peace by his cross, as Jesus made. The church's ever living head. You know, there's... And to really know and feel the blessed benefit of this, favour of this. See, we are sinners and we've got a wicked heart still. And the old nature is still in us and a trouble to us. And the enemy of souls, Satan, is working within our old nature. And there is also that raging of the unequal war between the old man and the new. The conflict. And there is this that the child of God knows. He knows much of conflict, trouble and tribulation, and many things which are very, very worrying and very concerning. And the Lord comes with his wonderful peace, gives respite from all the rage of hell and sin, comes in that way to the aid and the blessing and encouragement of his people, the saving of his people from the enemy's power. Oh, that they might be by strength he gives, with the strength he is giving, I can wrestle, I can fight. And you see, as he gives us strength, we can fight with hell and sin by living faith. But oh, what is needed, what is in the holy mind of God to know that we will need when we're in the battle of life, when we're in much tribulation, when we're in the warfare, this wonderful covenant of peace. If it weren't for the love of Christ known in measure, in times of being in the battle, you know how we would. Oh, we could never endure it, friends. But he comes with his holy peace. The covenant of his peace is he always comes to his people when they need him. When they're in desperate need, when they're in tribulation, when they're in the heat of the battle, the conflict is raging twixt the powers of grace and sin. The Lord comes. He said he won't remove the covenant of his peace. whoever be ready to come for the child of God to allay their fears to come in the time of a great need, a time of a desperate case, urgent pressing case, the time of extremity, or when you're almost overcome, but he comes, he won't remove the covenant of his peace. And the covenant of his peace, of course, is grounded upon the promises he's given. Well, I should say the promises he gives are grounded in the covenant of peace. What promise has he spoke? As he spoke to thee, some particular promise. You never remove it, friends. Covenant of my peace shall not be removed. As he said, I love thee well, my child, thou art mine. In that way, it's a promise really eternally he loves. As he said, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Oh, the covenant of my he says, and neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. When you had that promise, that maybe one of another of you have had more than one promise. When you had those promises or that promise, how blessed you were, how favoured you were. But oh, we know there's many changes. We are changeable characters. And oh, friends, because we're changeable and become fearful and become troubled that we may not endure to the end. He says, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. Oh, friends, what a promise this is. Promise upon promises that the Lord has ever and will ever give his people. What he's spoken to thee, the word he spake to thee was, sinner, I've loved thee. I love thee well, my child, thou art mine. Neither will the covenant of my peace be removed. And you see, where is Satan? He's waging his war against us. This wonderful way of God and blessing of God, his kindness to his people and the covenant of his peace. Well, it saves them from despair. It saves them from that conflict that Satan wages against us, and he would overcome us. But God's people shall overcome. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. They are favoured, blessed, saved by grace, saved in the Lord. And the blood of Jesus Christ, you may think, well, I'm so much being left to myself. God may profoundly leave you for a time and give you to be suffering solemn desertion because of your sin and folly. But this word comes above it all. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. No, he will never leave his people nor forsake them. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man should do, what the enemy of souls should do, what any man, any agent of Satan may do. So, friends, the covenant of my peace, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. And now it is so surely so, because the covenant of peace was sealed with blood. Oh, the great price paid, the holy heart's blood of the Son of God. Oh, the price is so great, because it must be great to save every soul. It is so great, it will never be removed. Never be removed from the child of God, never be removed from the gospel of the grace of God. Within the gospel of the grace of God is this covenant of peace. Oh, and the last part of the verse, saith the Lord that hath mercy upon you. He has mercy. Mercy for the guilty. Mercy for wretched sinners. He hath mercy upon thee. This is so for every child of God, God's mercy. Mercy is in Jesus that exempt us from hell. His wonders I see, his glories I tell. Thy free grace alone from the first to the last has won my affection and bear my soul fast. Friends, do you know these mercies? The Lord's mercy, and the Lord that hath mercy on thee, the Lord God Jehovah, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, one God bless you forevermore, your Lord, my Lord. Oh, have you been brought to say, my Lord and my God, and really know it and be in it, and as God comes to you and blesses you and favours you, you say, my Lord and my God, He's everything to you. Oh, you are so blessed if you know God Jehovah is your God. Know these things of His wonderful promises. The Lord solemnly acknowledging and then giving the wonderful promise. For the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. I must come toward the concluding, friends, but I feel it laid upon me to pointedly put it to you. Do you have this evidence that God hath mercy upon you? Oh, it will prove the secret of how you stand if you are in need of that. The Lord that hath mercy on thee. You know, I think of it how it is in cases in the Word. They come to the place where they had to plead for mercy. Every child of God comes to that place and is brought into that need to cry for mercy. Oh, and they experience, as they cry for mercy, God looking in mercy and dealing with them in mercy. Mercy under the blessing of God becomes such a wonderful theme. A wonderful theme to the child of God. It's always they have to be pleading mercy. Pleading for mercy for Jesus' sake. And thy mercy, my God, is the theme of my song, the joy of my heart, boast of my tongue. Mercy. Oh, or the guilty sinner. God's love and mercy. And friends, this covenant of peace, love, the love of God, the mercy of God. Oh, what great favours these are to know, and taste redeeming love, and to be blessed, God's merciful kindness and goodness to us. Oh, and we sing of His mercy, because it's so amazing. So I think of the theme, you know, every one of us should lay heed to this. You know, if we are blessed, we should really be in praise and thanksgiving more and more for what God has done, and love so amazing, and this is what is expressed here, so divine, demands my life, my power, my all. I hope I can say I've been in that exercise of late, friends. And oh, how it does demand our life, our power, our all. We should live denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following Christ according to what He's done for us. especially as what he's done for us in what is stated in this verse, and in all the things that we may have a very deep and solemn concern and fears, and we would ever remember and remind you that fears are sins. The slavish fears that so much rise. But oh, this word is a wonderful word, and wonderful word it come to me last night. For the mountains shall depart, and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy upon thee. It might even be that it applies to one and another here. You know, I think of when my father was removed, and I knew he was going to die, would soon die. And in my very heart of hearts, I was thinking, whoever will I be able to stand that time when my dear father dies, having worked with him every day in my working life until he was not able to work. And how close we were, and I witnessed his new birth. But you know, when it came, God gave grace. He gave one the grace to bear it. And he does, friends. Whatever it is, he gives the grace for his people to bear their sorrow and carry their sorrow. Yes, his grace is ever proved. It's promised it will be, and it is proved it will be sufficient. Covenant of my peace shall... Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed. His love is such to his people. He gives grace. And he will give grace and glory. This is a wonderful favour that is promised in this word. As it is in the psalm, I believe it's in the deep catch beneath in this verse of scripture. He will give grace and glory. Neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. But, friends, this last couplet, and you will know if you're in the secret of it, that hath mercy upon thee. It's not just he has had mercy, he hath mercy. It's ongoing, it's continuing, and it will ever continue as... for and toward God's people as they go on in their pilgrimage journey. Because, as I've said many times, it's all mercy. Whatever comes in hard things, you can still find mercy. And everything of God's dealings is all in love and mercy. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Cottingham will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Robert Field on Tuesday evening next week. And the members are asked to stay behind for a few minutes, please. Our closing hymn is number 12. All glory to mercy we bring, the mercy that reigns evermore. The infinite mercy we sing, the mercy eternal adore. Hymn number 12.
May the Lord forgive anything that was seen amiss in our service. To own and bless thy word, Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit abide with us. Amen.